listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zegura, Matt Wilhelm. Don't forget to stay connected to your Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Browns official app for your iPhones, Android phones, iPads in the App Store. You can listen to this show live. You can stream, download parts of the particular parts of the podcast you want. Listen to anything that you do want. So analytics, we were talking about that. Charles Barkley, obviously not a fan of analytics. He don't like analytics, as he liked to say, with his vitriol, which I thought was funny to hear him and Shaq get excited about that. You know, and some people think analytics don't work because teams don't always listen to it. That's when some of our listeners were talking about it. I think it's a piece of the puzzle, and I think people who have been doing things one way are certainly, you know, hesitant to introduce something that they consider to be a foreign part of the process like analytics. I think that's a challenge with everything. Is you're able, businesses use analytics now because they can identify the efficiencies and efficiencies in their business and help them make more money and ultimately be more successful. So again, the stocks, think about how people evaluate companies. If there's a lot of analytics, both technical analytics or also, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Again, it's not everything. It doesn't go against traditional valuations, but it's a piece of the puzzle.
It definitely is. And I think in some cases, I would err on the side of doing it. Whether you use the knowledge gained from the analytics, I think you gain something, because then when you actually go and do it your way, you're always going to look back and see those analytics and the results from it. And maybe at that point, after you essentially have gone and failed or not lived up something out, or the analytics painted the picture but you did it your way, maybe that cause of at least having those notes gained from the analytics is something that can cause a positive stir, you know, down the road. Maybe not essentially right when you do it, but it's applied at a certain point that you go prove a system, the system doesn't work, and the analytics said so prior to you doing it. And in some cases, what happens in the National Football League, if you don't use all your resources at a certain time, you know, you're wasting a year. You're wasting a year as guys get older, as money is spent, and contracts expire.
Do players talk about this kind of stuff?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No. Not even in terms of their negotiations, just for no reason players talk about analytics and how their stats. You care, all you care about are your plus and minuses from the coaches.
Yes, well, and I mean, the only thing, unless you're coming up on a contract year and either you want to start negotiating early or you truly are in your contract year, the only analytics is your comparison to other players in the market that you can compare to and what they're getting paid. And just for example, you know, Sean Merriman, when, you know, he was doing what he was doing in his first contract with the San Diego Chargers, you know, he of course had the suspension and some injuries, which never really caused him to get the big money that he could have in a second contract. He was constantly looking at, you know, towards the end, a Strahan or, you know, some of the guys in the league, Jared Allen, who was producing, you know, 15 plus sacks and the contracts that were associated with those clubs. That was the analytics the guys cared about. And in some cases, an agent's job is to understand all those analytics. For us as a player, it's just, you know, stay clean, you know, off the field and do what we know you're capable of doing on the field, and the money and everything that, you know, you pay them to take care of will be taken care of.
It's an interesting, just again, an interesting debate here. 216-578-0850. What do you think about, you know, what do you think about what the Cleveland Browns should do with the quarterback position? Should they address the running back position? We got the combine coming up in 9 days where you will see tons of numbers and tons of stats and tons of facts about everybody. Matt Wilhelm's claiming to have run a 4.5. Other sources say
4.59.
Say different numbers for you, but that's okay. I'm going to go with your 4.59. Unofficial
4.59.
Yes. What do you think the fastest 40 time for a Browns player ever was?
Ooh, I'm going to say it's Buster Screen.
Active Browns
player. Buster Screen, and I think I'm going to say 4.34.
Buster Screen, 4.34. The correct answer, Buster Screen is tied for two at 4.37.
Ooh.
The correct answer, Travis Benjamin ran a 4.31.
Woo! That's smoking. I just want everybody to know, Joey Galloway, you know, all-out speedster, maybe one day to be considered for the NFL Hall of Fame, even though wasn't a part of some winning seasons early in his career in Seattle. I've firsthand, in his NFL career, saw Joey Galloway run a handheld 4.19.
Which is flying.
That's the fastest human I've ever seen in my life.
It's absolutely flying. Yes, that's
so
ridiculous.
So, I mean, electric, it might be like a 4.25 or a 4.28, somewhere in that area. But I saw it was a handheld 4.19, and it was ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous. Here are the top 10 Browns 40 times Travis Benjamin, 4.31. Justin Gilbert, 4.37. Buster, 4.37. Dante Whitner, 4.4. Kendall James, 4.44. Miles Austin, 4.47. Rodney Smith, who's got a lot of size at wide receiver, 4.51. Joe Hayden, 4.52. Cameron, 4.53. And Jordan Poyer, 4.54. The top quarterback on the team, Connor Shaw, 4.66. Top running back, Terrence West at 4.56. Crow ran a 4.57.
You're telling me Connor Shaw ran faster than Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Johnny, I think, ran like a 4.7, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, Connor Shaw ran the fastest. So very interesting,
wow.
You know, for the 40-yard dash. And then, of course, Justin Gilbert, he's got the size, he's got the speed, 4.37. Both those guys are faster than Hayden, who's at 4.52. Interesting.
And Nathan, as we talk about the 40-yard dash, I'm just going to give a little teaser. I was actually on the field today with the Cleveland Browns mascot Chomps, putting Chomps through a 40-yard dash and training him for my combine days.
How did Chomps do?
Chomps did okay. He needs to work on his start. Needs to keep his head down. He lifts up a little too early in his 40, but he did well. He did a decent broad jump, and we put him through the 20-yard short shuttle. So that's something that you can find on clevelandbrowns.com or probably the Browns mobile app as well.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about players going to the combine and not really participating?
Not a big fan. And I talked about, you know, my combine and I talked about this with Jim Donovan, I believe it was Monday. And I didn't participate in everything at the combine, surprisingly so, because I had just come off of the 14 games, at Ohio State. Then 10 days later, played in the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
And I was just flat out beat up. And I've told you about my Senior Bowl experience. Like, I was just looking to kind of coast and chill, get some great exposure, do the interviews. I didn't really understand it was like a practicing resume builder as it is today. And it was then, too. And so I may, in fact, might have cost myself some money at the Senior Bowl, but I think I might have made up for it at my pro day. So I went to the combine. I did not run the 40. I did bench press. I did the on-the-field.
Why didn't you run the 40?
I had hamstring problems. You know, coming out of the season, and I think my legs were dead, and more so than anything, I understood the platform that it is to run the 40 at the combine in front of everybody all at one time, and I just wasn't ready in my training, and I didn't want to have that 4.84, and all of a sudden, you know, have to go have the misconception that I go run the 4.59, as you say, or may not have ran at my own pro day, and have that discrepancy. You know, really come into hand. Well, you know, in Indianapolis, at the RCA Dome, the then RCA Dome, he ran this. But, of course, on his pro day, on his fast track and, you know, wind-aided, all that stuff that they like to use, he ran this super fast time. And that's, in some cases, why guys don't work out, because the players and the agents want to manipulate the atmosphere for them to pose the best time or have the best performance.
Sure.
Even though NFL clubs think you're playing on an even playing field and have the opportunity to showcase your ability while you're even with everybody else in a very nerve-wracking atmosphere.
Let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Cam is in Canada talking the analytics debate. What do you got to say, Cam?
Hey, guys. Yeah, no, there's definitely a huge trend developing right now where analytics is a big part of things. But, I mean, I see analytics as necessary and important in making a decision between two similar players, like abilities-type players. But, I mean, we've all seen the caricature that's existing right now where certain organizations are leaning on it a little bit too much. Personally, for the Browns, I think the Browns are a little bit too much about intangibles, a little bit too much about character. I think they think a little bit too much about players, and it's almost a bit of a high – and don't think it's the wrong way. I love the Browns. It's almost a high school mentality. We want these guys to practice well. We want them to work, you know, be part, play like a Brown. At the end of the day, I don't think the Browns rely enough upon in-game performance to evaluate their players. But for the most part, I think that teams have to use analytics to some degree, but the Browns should rely more upon what a guy does in a game, not what he does in practice. That's my view on it.
I think certainly the tape is a huge part of it. I think the analytics is a piece that, as you said, can break a tie, or I think it also can help you uncover some gems late in drafts, guys that, you know, maybe you didn't know, but they just find a way to absolutely get the job done. I think that there can be a lot of value in that as well.
I definitely do. I think it's very difficult. And in most cases, I know that scouts visit, and of course, as they visited me when I was at Ohio State, they visit practice so that you can see up close and personal how they practice, you know, how they match up, the tempo with which they practice and how prepared they are. But it's very difficult to, you know, evaluate the number of prospects, then, you know, every college football game that they maybe have played since they were a freshman or sophomore, or at least a contributor. And then also to evaluate, you know, all their practices, you know, and how they are each and every day, because you don't know what guys are struggling with mentally, physically, emotionally, so on and so forth. So I definitely think the more and more we talk about it, analytics are becoming a bigger part of the draft process and evaluating talent. I really do.
It certainly is. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Talk a little bit about the draft. We can rehash that. We'll go ahead and tell you about Mel Kiper's draft. We had Lance Zierlein on. We'll tell you about his draft for the Browns. They both feature wide receivers. Is that the number one position you want the Browns to attack? Wide receiver in draft at number 12? Is that what you're hoping to get? Certainly let us know at 216-578-0850. Plus, we'll dip into our Browns mailbag here as we wrap things up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.